Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you guys about betonline.ag. Four teams left in women's college basketball, four teams left in men's college basketball, six games left to be played. If this is where you want to get in on the action, we've got a deal for you. If you use the link in the description to this episode, head to BetOnline Sportsbook and use our promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, you can pick up a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit to get ready for all of this weekend's college basketball action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, or good night. However and whenever it is you may be listening, thank you for stopping on into another fantabulous episode of the Take It Easy podcast. We are live on the Believe Podcast Network, except it isn't live because it's a podcast. Podcasts aren't live. It's the whole purpose of podcasts. Can listen however and whenever you so choose. We appreciate you stopping in today, however and whenever it is that you may be choosing. We're going to talk NBA basketball here today. I know it's gotten lost in the shuffle a little bit this last month between all the college basketball and NFL draft and Shohei Ohtani having $4.5 million stolen from him by his interpreter. I know that the NBA's kind of gotten lost in the shuffle a little bit here, but today let's talk some NBA basketball. We're 2 weeks away from the playoffs. We kind of know who the teams who have a chance of winning the championship are. Most of them are named the Boston Celtics or Denver Nuggets, but there's a whole group of Tier 2 teams that are all trying to make it a round further than expectations might suggest, and by golly, we're excited to talk about all of those teams as we get into the NBA playoffs. Once Iowa and Caitlin Clark's season finishes, once South Carolina potentially wins the national championship in women's college basketball. Once all that gets resolved, I'm sure we're going to have a lot of NBA talk. And today on the show, I want to talk about one team in particular who is not the Denver Nuggets, whom we did a podcast about earlier on in February, not about the Oklahoma City Thunder, of which we did a whole 40-minute podcast about whether or not a team as young as Oklahoma City can possibly make it to a Western Conference Finals, given the fact that not a single player on their active 8-man rotation has played a playoff game except for Lugans Dort, the oldest 25-year-old in the history of America. And we are not going to talk about the Boston Celtics today, who are the best team in basketball by leaps and bounds. And, you know, we did a whole podcast about revisiting our Why the Boston Celtics Are Not a Failure podcast and why we got it incorrect in thinking that the Boston Celtics championship window or their best chance to win a championship had passed them by in the last 2 years. We talked about all of them already. Today, let's talk about one of our favorite teams, the Minnesota Timberwolves, a team that we loved first 2 years ago when the Minnesota Timberwolves won the play-in tournament against the Clippers, and they were throwing jerseys, jumping up on tables, crying, hugging girlfriends. Remember that when Patrick Beverley beat the Clippers and he was like chucking jerseys off tables and, you know, Karl Anthony Towns was crying and Anthony Edwards was getting all hype? Remember how awesome that team was? That was my favorite moment of that entire 2022 basketball season. It was just absolutely magical. Oh, just it was so good. And anyways, 2 years ago when we first learned about the Minnesota Timberwolves, it inspired this parody song that we did set to The Man by the Killers, which granted, I know Taurean Prince and Malik Beasley don't play for the Timberwolves anymore, but most of the jokes in this are still pretty damn funny, at least according to me. So much so that 2 years later, I still want to play the Minnesota Timberwolves parody we made called The Ant Man.
Antler Josh Gore. The ball slipped out his hand. Cat and them boys, they won't give a damn. They cheer playing games like they just won the crown. Nothing can bring Minnesota down. The Ant-Man drives down. D-Lo's got to kick. D-Lo's got to kick it out. The Ant-Man's 21 and nothing can break. You can't break him down. 12 years in the tank. Bet flops like a plank. We got news for you, baby, and Edwards is the man. 2 years in the game, and he's a household name. We got news for you, baby, and Edwards is the man. When it comes to Wiggins, they never learned. And then Jimmy Butler left all the kids burned. The only way they get talent is the top of the draft. Torian Prince and Malik Beasley, the Ant-Man's 21. Nothing can break. You can't break him down. 12 years in the tank. Bev flops like a plank. Got news for you, baby, and Edwards is the man. Cat's shot, make it rain. GM's affairs in the way. Got news for you, baby, and Edwards is the man. The Ant-Man, the Ant-Man, the Ant-Man, the Ant-Man. Who's the man with the plan? The Ant-Man. The Ant-Man, the Ant-Man, the Ant-Man, the Ant-Man. Who's the man with the plan? The Ant-Man. The Ant-Man. The Ant-Man. Twelve years in the tank. Bev flops like a plank. Got news for you, baby, and Edwards is the man. 15 years away from headed to the Hall of Fame. Got news for you, baby, and Edwards is the man.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. I love it. I love it. I love it so much. Brings back so many positive memories. So many positive memories of the parody song. I know we haven't done a parody song in a while here on the show, and eventually we will feel inspired to come here and do one, but I know it brings me back to a time in this, back when I was in college. This podcast was our number one way to talk about sports. We invested so much time and energy. That parody song took like 2 hours to make, and it's like 2.5 minutes long. Ugh, just, I love the Ant-Man so much. Ugh, if only he didn't say stupid shit all the time and problematic shit all the time. It would be so great. Ant-Man is the best. Anyways, Minnesota Timberwolves. So, the Minnesota Timberwolves have a young superstar in Anthony Edwards. He is 23 years old. He is one of the 15 best players in the league. He has made an all-star team the last 2 years, and the Minnesota Timberwolves have surrounded Anthony Edwards with competence. When the Timberwolves traded for Rudy Gobert, we talked to Ben from the Minnesota Timberwolves podcast that I cannot remember. We should get Ben back on the show at some point, but we talked to our guy Ben, and the thing that we both agreed on is that they gave up too much for Rudy Gobert, and at the same time, what they have done is they have built a competent team around Anthony Edwards, a team that was designed to compete for as far as they were going to go by 2024. And the reason they made the trade in 2022 planning for 2024 is turning over the offense to Anthony Edwards. This Timberwolves team goes as far as Anthony Edwards takes them. Anthony Edwards is the one player on the team who has a puncher's chance of being the best player on a championship team. We've already been through it with Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert was the best player on the Utah Jazz team for about 4 or 5 years. The closest they got was the number one seed in the West, which granted, like, Rudy Gobert is the best player on a team that got the number one seed in the Western Conference. Like, that's no small accomplishment. Rudy Gobert is a Hall of Fame basketball player, but he is not a superstar, and he got played off the floor during Utah's best chance to win a championship, in which they lost to, I believe, a Clipper team that had Paul George and Terrence Mann as their two best players. And they lost to Phoenix in the conference finals once they knocked the number one seed Jazz out. Rudy Gobert had his chance to be a number one. It has passed. Karl Anthony Towns had his chance to be a number one. Timberwolves made the playoffs one time with Karl Anthony Towns as the number one, and then they've been a bottom of the draft team ever since the whole Jimmy Butler, Andrew Wiggins thing. So they've given Anthony Edwards the keys to the car and have said go with it. And the Timberwolves are currently the number three seed in the Western Conference. The Timberwolves are one of four teams that won 40 games in their first 60 this year, which there's a stat that Phil Jackson used to say, which is that if you start the year by winning 40 out of your first 60, you are good enough to win a championship. And I believe that of the last 30 NBA champions, so this would be going back to the Houston Rockets championship in 1994, the first championship that they won. Since 1994, 90% of NBA champions won 40 of their first 60 games or better. The only exceptions were, I believe, the 04 Pistons, the 2011 Mavericks, and I can't remember what the other team was that broke the 40-60 rule. But basically, there's a 90% chance that the champion of the league is going to be a team that in the first 60 games was winning over 67% of their games. This year, there were four teams that hit that benchmark. It's the Celtics, it's the Nuggets, it's the Thunder, and the Timberwolves. Those are the four teams that are the regular season's best. If I go to our lovely nerd stats right now, which I know we bring up all the time, SRS ranking, net rating, things like that that give you context for how good teams are in the regular season, Timberwolves currently right now rank third in the league in net rating, third in the league in expected win-loss record, third in the league in SRS ranking. The Timberwolves in the regular season have been one of the three best teams in all of the NBA. And I will add that the Minnesota Timberwolves have done exactly what we anticipated they would do at the start of the season, which is great defensive team. By virtue of having Rudy Gobert, you will be a great defensive team. They are number one in the league in defensive rating. Their offense was going to be able to generate points, but the offense was basically going to be, we're going to turn it over to Anthony Edwards and see what Anthony Edwards can do with the offense. That was basically the game plan for the Timberwolves. Turn over the offense to Anthony Edwards. And it was going to be an offense that gets results, but it was going to be a very inefficient offense. And lo and behold, they're 17th in the league in offensive rating this year. Despite the fact that both Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns made the All-Star team in the West, they are an incredibly inefficient offense. Because it's either Anthony Edwards gets 40 points on 28 shots, or Karl Anthony Towns scores 50 and they lose by 10 points because he's taking 35 inefficient shots. But the Timberwolves I said, if you give them top of the league defense and an offense that turns over the keys to Anthony Edwards, you can have a team that finishes top five in the West. And right now they're top three in the West and top three in the league at large. However, the Timberwolves are exactly the team that all of the teams 4 through 7, because basically right now there's three teams that are above and beyond the rest in the West. It is Denver, it's OKC, and it's Minnesota. Those are going to be the top three seeds in some combination. All three of those teams expect to make it to at least the second round of the playoffs. Right, the Nuggets expect to win the conference. The Thunder should expect to reasonably make it to the second round of the playoffs. Minnesota should expect to reasonably make it to the second round of the playoffs. One of those teams is going to overachieve and make it to the conference finals. Unless one of the teams 4 through 7 goes on a run and makes it deep in the playoffs. Because if you're a team 4 through 7 in the West, which right now I would argue are the Clippers, the Pelicans, the Mavericks, Phoenix, maybe Sacramento, although Sacramento's now lost two of their stars. I mean, Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter and Trey Lyles all gone for Sacramento now, maybe for the season. Sacramento might be injury-plagued and falling out of the picture. But 4 through 7, the Clippers, the Pelicans, the Mavericks, and the Suns, those teams are hunting Minnesota. Because I feel very confident, despite the fact that Minnesota overachieved preseason expectations, any of these teams can beat Minnesota. Even though Minnesota's in the one seed right now in the West, all these teams can beat Minnesota. Minnesota's the one seed, they can go down in the first round. Two seed, they can go down in the first round. Three seed, they can go down in the first round. This is a top five team in the West. It is not necessarily a top two team in the West, which means their results lie somewhere in the in-between. The Timberwolves should reasonably expect to make the jump from first-round exit this year to second-round exit. They are one of the four best teams in the Western Conference, and they should expect to make it to at least the second round of the playoffs. If the Timberwolves make it to the second round of the playoffs this year and lose either to Denver, to the Clippers, to Phoenix, to Oklahoma City, maybe not Oklahoma City, but if they lose to Denver, if they lose to the Clippers, I think Minnesota looks at this season and says, you know what, not a failure. Not an uber success. I mean, we won 55 games, set some franchise records, but also not a failure. If they make it to the conference finals, I think it's an overachieving season for the Timberwolves, without question, considering how inefficient their offense is and how Anthony Edwards is still only a 23-year-old superstar going up against prototypical guards who are better than him, like Luka Doncic, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, guys who have 2 years on him and are currently in the MVP candidacy. Because right now, Anthony Edwards is a top 15 NBA player. He ain't a top 7 or 8 NBA player. And that's okay. He's still only 23 years old. These other players are going to take a step back. Anthony Edwards is going to take a step up. Time will tell as to whether Edwards will ever get to be that top 5 player in the league who can be best player on a championship team. Because right now, I think that list is, of the current generation, Jokic, Embiid, Giannis, Anthony Davis, and then maybe Devin Booker. Maybe Devin Booker can be best player on a championship team, although his window is starting to close now as injuries start to set in for him. In the upcoming generation, it feels like it's going to be Luka might be best player championship team, SGA best player championship team, they're MVP finalists right now. Zion, I think, still is in that chance to get there. Ja Morant to be determined. And then you have Anthony Edwards. Like, Anthony Edwards is one of the stars of the future generation in the sport. But as of right now, yeah, the Timberwolves are the team that's getting hunted in the first round. More than Oklahoma City, more than Denver, probably more than the Pelicans or Clippers. Yeah, you want to hunt Minnesota as your first-round matchup. Not just because of the inefficient offense, and not just because Karl Anthony Towns has a meniscus injury that will probably keep him out for a portion of the playoffs. The other reason that teams are trying to hunt down Minnesota is this wild-ass story between their current owner, Glenn Taylor, the guys who were supposed to take over for Glenn Taylor, a.k.a. Alex Rodriguez, and some guy named Mark Lohr, and how those guys got beef now, and now the entire ownership of the team has been completely thrown into flux and is going to go to court for a good number of years between Mark Lohr and Alex Rodriguez and Glenn Taylor, who now got beef with each other after we learned all about it in a story done by The Athletic's Shams Charania and John Krasinski, who John Krasinski covers the Timberwolves, so he was kind of the Timberwolves person with most of the details and information. Shams Charania came in with all of his connections and national perspective and provided some context for what exactly the fuck is happening between Glenn Taylor and the Minnesota Timberwolves ownership group that was supposed to take over of Mark Lohr and Alex Rodriguez. So on one side you have Alex Rodriguez, Hall of Fame sort of baseball player. I know steroids kind of make all of it stupid, but one of the greatest baseball players of all time, who also was one of the most publicly embarrassing steroid cheats who will never get into the Hall of Fame, but probably should deserve to on merit. Alex Rodriguez and his friend Mark Lohr, who I assume is the closest thing to this, what we can call business daddy. His business daddy, Mark Lohr, who has more money than Alex Rodriguez and is at the forefront of the two of them trying to co-partner on running a sports franchise. They tried to buy the Mets, got beat on the bid by Steve Cohen, who has like $20 billion in hedge fund money that was going to beat the Lohr and Rodriguez tandem trying to get the team at a discount because the Wilpons were trying to get some money to pay off some debt. So, Alex Rodriguez, Mark Lohr on one side. On the other side, longtime owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves, Glenn Taylor, who made his money by modest means, relatively speaking, like bought the team when it was valued at like only a relatively crazy amount of money. Like, I think bought it for like $40 million, and then now it's worth billions, and Glenn Taylor of the 1990s would not be able to buy the team from Glenn Taylor of today just because he would not be in the stratosphere of wealth required to purchase a professional sports team. But Glenn Taylor, longtime owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves, who quite frankly, the only thing I really know about him is that he's like abusing chickens. And the reason I say abusing chickens is because remember 2 years ago in the playoffs when all those protesters were like charging the floor and like gluing themselves to baskets in protest of like his chicken farm's animal cruelty? Like, honest to God, only thing I remember about Glenn Taylor is like he be doing some awful shit to these chickens. Because these protesters showed up to like multiple playoff games to try and protest the animal cruelty going on in his company. So like we have chicken strangler Glenn Taylor on one side and Hall of Fame steroid cheat baseball player on the other side. And according to the story, what they had originally agreed to was that A-Rod and Mark Lohr would slowly but steadily purchased the majority of the Timberwolves, right? So in 2021, they agreed to buy the Timberwolves at steady increases, kind of like a slowly but steadily turnover of the team. And so they bought 20% in 2022. They bought another 20% in 2023. And then at the end of this year, or I'm sorry, at the end of this month, they have the option to purchase the final 40%. And in the time being, they are making renovations to the arena. The thing that stuck in Glenn Taylor's craw was like a private owner's lounge near the locker room of the arena that Taylor thought was too exorbitant and silly, but he bought it anyways because that was what Lohr and A-Rod thought was best for doing private business dealings. They had some contentious relationships over spending. Glenn Taylor contends that Lohr and Rodriguez were only interested in the big picture stuff and not really concerned about day-to-day operations of the organization. Like, they cared if they were trading for Rudy Gobert, but they didn't care if they were deciding on a second-round pick or which player to offer a two-way contract to. At the same time, Mark Lohr was starting a upscale food delivery service, which is basically like Uber Eats for people in the Hamptons who want to buy $700 food. And that was apparently consuming a lot of his time, and Glenn Taylor felt like Lohr wasn't really invested in the team, which Lohr disputes. And so March 27th comes up, the date for them to purchase the last 40% of the team. Their financial backers backed out. They got some new financial backers to come through. There were questions about whether or not A-Rod and Lohr had the money to purchase the team in the first place. Their financial backing equity firm backs out. They get a new equity firm to step in. And when March 27th passes, Glenn Taylor says, hey, they didn't meet the requirements to purchase the team. and now the team is no longer for sale. A-Rod and his bro own 40% of the team, but they don't own the majority of the team. That belongs to Glenn Taylor. And so Glenn Taylor is now saying, you guys are going to be treated like limited partners. You still own 40%, but we're going to treat you guys like limited partners. I still own the team. And oh, by the way, no one can purchase the rest of the team from me. If anyone wants the majority of the team, no one can purchase it. So he collected at a $1.5 billion value for 40% of the team. So he got $600 million in liquid assets from the guys. They bought 40% of the team, spent $600 million. And now Taylor still owns the team but gets the $600 million in exchange for his 40%. So he gets to make all the decisions. And after spending the 40, after getting the $600 million, still owns control of the team. And A-Rod and Mark Lohr would not have spent that kind of money if they didn't get the ability to make influences on the basketball decisions and things like that. No way, no how. The reason they were willing to spend the money and play by his rules was the promise that at the end of it all, they were going to get to be the people who made the decisions for the organization. And now it looks like they're going to go to court to try and fight for their ability to run the Minnesota Timberwolves, which is a hilarious twist of events, hilarious turn of events for everything that's gone on between Lohr and A-Rod and the chicken strangler of Glenn Taylor. Because now there's just a total fight over who owns the team. Taylor confirms he owns the team, and his reasoning is like, hey, I'm honoring the contract. They didn't meet the obligations, and so now I still own the team, but they can keep their 40% stake. I get the $600 million, and they can keep their 40% stake. And now you're minority partners. And they're like, no, we want the whole team. We want the whole thing. We want the whole team. Because what's the point of spending all this money if we can't actually make basketball decisions? And Lohr and A-Rod contend in this article with Krasinski and Shams Charania that the reason Glenn Taylor is backing out now is that the Timberwolves are now worth almost twice as much as they were worth 3 years ago because the team is actually good now. And Anthony Edwards is this soon-to-be superstar that is making the franchise literally hundreds of millions of dollars on their franchise valuation. And so they're looking at it like he's trying to get a raw deal because he can sell the team for twice as much as it's worth now. And that's what he's going to plan to do, is sell the rest of the team at a higher rate. I believe they used seller's remorse was the term that they used to describe Glenn Taylor's actions. It's like, hey, you signed a bad deal. Don't blame us because you signed a bad deal. They believe they're due an extension on their original deal. They should get until June for the NBA to finish approving their sale. Haven't gotten that. The deadline's probably going to pass, and you're going to have a giant lawsuit breakout that is going to be incredibly funny to watch in real time because it's going to be Alex fucking Rodriguez trying to fight for the rights to a shitty basketball team that, oh, by the way, happens to have the number one seed in the Western Conference. And it's so interesting and so crazy to watch it happen in real time as the Timberwolves are getting ready to go to the playoffs, because like I said earlier, that's the team that you should be hunting in the first round. I know they have the number one seed, and I know that we said a team led by Anthony Edwards and competence of Rudy Gobert and Carl Anthony Towns and Jaden McDaniels and Mike Conley and Naz Reid and all the competence that they have put around a 23-year-old superstar in Anthony Edwards, that's good enough to get them a top five seed in the West. And they've exceeded even those expectations this year. They currently have the number one seed in the Western Conference. But they are still a top five team in the West. They are not a top three team in the West. No, they might be a top three team in the West. They are not a top two team in the West with certainty. And they expect to make it to at least the second round of the playoffs. But if I'm Dallas, if I'm Phoenix, if I'm any of these teams, that's the team you want to hunt in your first round matchup, more than the Thunder, more than Denver, and I'd argue even more than the Pelicans and Clippers. In particular, if you're going to get no Karl Anthony Towns back for the playoffs, I mean, that's a team that we've seen Rudy Gobert's defensive game plan get broken down at times in the playoffs, and granted, they have more length and depth than they had in Utah. When Rudy Gobert wasn't bringing it, they didn't have the same depth off the bench. It was a lot of Tony Bradley that was coming in, or they were running small lineups of Ingles and Bogdanovich and Royce O'Neal playing the 3, 4, and 5, but this Timberwolves team has Naz Reid and Jaden McDaniels and Kyle Anderson and some more flexibility. But I bring it up just to say that that's the team you can get in the first round. If you're Dallas, you can definitely get Minnesota in the first round, especially because your offense is a better, well-oiled machine version of what the Timberwolves are running on offense. With Luka and Kyrie, I think you have a better chance than with Karl Towns at 70 or 80% health and Anthony Edwards. Which, by the way, I saw a stat that like Luka and the Mavericks are like 12-0 when it's Luka and Daniel Gafford starting together. So I guess that Daniel Gafford trade just turned out awesome. I wasn't anticipating that. But I bring all of that up to say, it's funny that this ownership story broke when it did for the Timberwolves, because I was already getting ready to say this is the team you hunt in the first round of the playoffs in the West. The Timberwolves, if they lose in the first round, it will be a disappointment. If they lose in the second round, they will have met expectations. If they lose in the conference finals, they will be ahead of a schedule. And it gives you more optimism and hope that this is a team that once Anthony Edwards does it progress and reach his prime in terms of physical abilities, and he becomes the guy in the MVP conversations in the way that we're starting to see with Luka and SGA and players of his generation. Once Ant gets to 24, 25, 26, then they're going to have a chance of winning that championship or getting to the finals or contending with Denver and Jokic or contending with Luka wherever he ends up in 2 years when he inevitably leaves the Mavericks, or competing with Oklahoma City and SGA and Chet Holmgren. It's just going to be so interesting to watch it move in real time as the four young stars of the West, Luka, SGA, Zion, and Anthony Edwards, compete for space in an incredibly thin Western Conference, an incredibly thin space where all of them are going to beat each other up at some point here. Meanwhile, you've got the Suns and Kevin Durant trying one more run. You've got Devin Booker and the Suns trying to find their space as Booker ages out of his prime and as Kevin Durant tries to keep the last of his remnants of his career going. You have the Lakers trying to hold on to what they have. You have Steph Curry and the Warriors trying to claim space in there. The Kings and Domantas Sabonis. Sabonis is in the middle of his prime right now, and he's trying to get in that MVP type of conversation or first team All-NBA conversation. You've got the older guys trying to fight for space, the Clippers, the Suns, the Lakers, the Warriors, fighting for space, and these four Western Conference teams led by young players, SGA, Luka, Anthony Edwards, and Zion, all fighting for an incredibly small space where not all of them are going to make deep playoff runs year after year. We'll see how Anthony Edwards stacks up in competition against those guys, and if he does match up against Luka in the first round, it'll be real interesting, real, real interesting to see how that series plays out, because I think Dallas can get Minnesota. I think the Pelicans can get Minnesota in the first round and beat them. I think the Suns can get Minnesota in the first round and beat them. I think the Kings can get Minnesota in the first round and beat them. Granted, that was before Malik Monk got hurt, but With a Malik Monk, I think they got a puncher's chance of catching Minnesota. It's all so interesting, and Minnesota is a team that could lose in the first round and could make it to the Western Conference Finals, and anywhere in between is a real possibility. So I'm curious to see what they look like as a second-tier team in the West right now for the first time. Because they lost in the first round of the playoffs in 22. They lost in the first round of the playoffs in 23 and had to go through the play-in. This year, they are a top four team in the West instead of being a top eight team. And I'm curious to see how they navigate that space going into the playoffs, while at the same time having a giant ownership battle between their new owner and his business daddy, who is a former steroid-riddled Hall of Fame baseball player, and their current owner, who is abusing chickens left and right. So interesting and so crazy. All at the same time, their leader of their defense is the guy who started the whole COVID-19 pandemic, and Carl Anthony Towns is just altogether a weird dude, just the best way I can phrase it, a weird dude who shoots a lot of three-pointers. And at the center of it all, Anthony Edwards, a.k.a. the Ant-Man. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for stopping into our show. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. In the meantime, leave a 5-star review, download. Any and all support greatly appreciated. But most importantly, take it easy. Now let's play ourselves out with the Ant-Man.
Ant let Josh score. The ball slipped out his hand. Cat and them boys, they won't give a damn. They cheer playing games like they just won the crown. Nothing can bring Minnesota down. The Ant-Man drives down. D-Lo's got a kick. D-Lo's got a kick. Get out. The Ant-Man's 21 and nothing can break. You can't break him down. 12 years in the tank. Bed flops like a plank. We got news for you, baby, and Edwards is the man. 2 years in the game, and he's a household name. We got news for you, baby, and Edwards is the man. When it comes to Wiggins, they never learned. And then Jimmy Butler left all the kids burned. The only way they get talent is the top of the draft. Torian Prince and Malik Beasley, the Ant-Man's 21. Nothing can break. You can't break him down. 12 years in the tank. Bev flops like a plank. Got news for you, baby, and Edwards is the man. Cat shot, make it rain. GM's affairs in the way. Got news for you, baby, and Edwards is the man. The Ant-Man, the Ant-Man, the Ant-Man, the Ant-Man. Who's the man with the plan? The Ant-Man. The Ant-Man, the Ant-Man, the Ant-Man, the Ant-Man. Who's the man with the plan? The Ant-Man. The Ant-Man. The Ant-Man. Twelve years in the tank. Bev flops like a plank. Got news for you, baby, and Edwards is the man. 15 years away from headed to the Hall of Fame. Got news for you, baby, and Edwards is the man.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.